Welcome back to Karma Recaps, and today we are recapping episode 4. As always, my name is Aaron Robertson. Welcome here, and I will be your host. And as always, I am joined by an esteemed panel of people from Endurance Past. First, we have somebody who I believe has the perfect experience being, you know, a targeted yellow team for so long and knows what it's like. We have Monroe from Endurance Hawaii.
And I'm representing my yellow colors today. I've got a lot of yellow pride here on Karma Podcast Episode 4. I'm excited for these guests to get in here.
Ooh! Next, we have another yellow team member here from Endurance 5 High Sierras and from the show Karma when she worked on it, Lily.
Hi, I'm so excited. We're going to have 4 former yellow team members. The yellow legacy lives on. I'm so excited. Oh,
yes. And last but not least, we have from the lovable green team from Endurance 2 and when she was a Survivor Dream Teamer as well, we have Keaton.
Hey, guy. I'm repping my yellow today. I'm a huge yellow team fan. We aligned with them, Callie and Shep. Never forget.
Yes.
So, oh, boy. Wow.
I was really curious as to where we were going to go from that chaotic end of episode 3. So how did you all feel about how episode 4 followed up from that? The overall thoughts about the episode.
Overall, I felt like the chaos had died down. You know, they'd all made their apologies from episode 3, which was wild. It felt, just the feeling was different in episode 4. So it was more calm. But yellow continued getting targeted, so that didn't change.
Yeah, it was such a frustrating thing because, yeah, at the beginning of episode 4, you're like, oh, things I think might change up in this game now. Like, they're not going to keep this weird target. And because it almost felt like Monroe's season of Endurance a little bit. Like, it got, like, a little old and a little bullying that they just kept sending the same team. So I was like, oh, yay, we're going to get something different. They're going to stick up for them. They've proven themselves. They don't need to go to the cave again. It unfortunately didn't end up that way.
Yeah.
No.
Look, coming back from the cave the second time, you know, that awkward moment when you're coming back and everyone's cheering and you're like, yeah, let's go to bed. We'll talk about it in the morning. That's how I'm sure there. I love to know how these two are feeling because, you know, they went up there with one coin and no one even gave them a darn coin. So then you come back and everyone's applauding. It's a tough road back. So although they tried to keep their chin up and send positive vibes out, if they might have been feeling a little raw, I don't blame them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. So let's go back to after that campfire. We go to the next morning and we have the lovely Avon describe the dynamics of the camp. And it seems that per this episode title, love is in the air.
Oh, teenagers. They're so sweet. I mean, I don't, Lily and Monroe, I don't know if you guys had like showmances on your season. I like our season did. Yeah. I know you had one, but like our season did, but it wasn't the main part of the storyline. So it's so funny and so cute that like there's so many little couples within this cast. And I love it. I think this is the reason too why these kids, because a lot of these couples aren't on the same team, and I think that it allows them to keep it a game and not make it personal because they actually kind of really like each other on maybe more than a friend level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an interesting side effect from Mac dividing the teams in the way that he did is because people aren't necessarily with their first or second choice. They're all on the other team, so there's a lot of inter-team relationships. Which are more prevalent than I would say the within the like intra team relationships.
Yeah, I think they're all on different teams. But yeah, I remember walking to the interview with Justin one of the days, and you know, rumor had gone around that we're asking questions about crushes. And he's like, Lily, I'm not going to talk about what you think I'm going to talk about. Like, okay, like, we'll see. And so we didn't get to it that interview, but the next day we had an interview with him too. And he's like, I think I'm ready to talk about what, you know, what you want to talk about. I was like, okay. And he went ham. I mean, he was very open about it. Like, even talking about how his mom said, stay away from the girls and everything. I thought that was so cute.
So let's go down the line of the couples that Ava and highlighted here. So first she talked about Aaron from Red and Ariana from Blue.
Adorb. I would ship that.
Yeah, Ariana was doing Aaron's hair and pulling it back. And, you know, it was fun seeing the interactions between the teams and getting more insight into you know, how they're working out with each other.
Yep.
Next we have Huck from Gray and Skyla from Purple.
This one is so cute. And Lily, this is one of my favorite lines from this episode, was when Huck said, I will neither confirm nor deny. And I know that is like a term used in production a lot when you're trying to, like, you can't really answer a contestant's question because it has somewhat to do with production. So it was so funny that he then turned that phrase back on you guys.
Exactly. I was like, oh, my. Because they were constantly asking us, oh, is there a challenge today? Is blah, blah, blah. And we would always say, cannot confirm nor deny. And so then when the other story producer asked Huck, that's what he was going to say, cannot confirm nor deny. And he just thought that was hilarious. We did too. We thought we'd get a kick out of that being in the show.
Oh, I love it. Third, we have Andy from Red and Eli from Yellow.
I mean, this flame was over, it seemed like, as soon as it was mentioned. So hope we'll see if they're still working out after the show. Who knows?
Yeah, that was one that actually kind of surprised me the most. I didn't really see that dynamic really influence the game in any way. But I guess we've already seen Andy demonstrate before that she can separate her personal relationships from the game relationships, especially with her close friendship with Skyly from episode one, you know, wanting to give her a coin, but deciding not to and giving it to Yellow instead.
I also think that Avon's, you know, interview about who's together was more so like, who thinks so-and-so is cute? Like, yeah. Maybe Andy thinks Eli's cute, but maybe she's not into him. I don't know.
Andy is so professional, though. Like, she is here to win it. She is a professional athlete. This girl is, like, not distracted by anything.
For sure.
And then last, we have Justin from Pink and Sienna from Gray.
Yeah. Patty cake. I love their interview.
Yeah,
pretty serious.
You know what I find funny is that both members of Red and both members of Gray were listed in all of these showmances, but not with each other.
I know, because Mac did his work. He was like, "Oh, that's who you think is cute? No, bye." Like,
yeah, shady-ish. And Andy was like, "Whoever I like, I'm not giving them my coin ever." So, JK, Andy, we love you.
Oh, and yeah. Skyla being like, "I don't care if a boy's cute. I will send him to the cave, pronto, baby."
If you had a showmance this season, chances are your lover was going to be sending you somewhere. It seemed like it was the foreshadowing. It was very Shakespearean the way these four summer flings seem to wind up. Or maybe we'll see.
So next we cut to the morning talk, and surprise, surprise, Orange gives the law of focus to Yellow.
Yeah, I was definitely expecting that. I mean, they were really good friends and went through a lot together. And you know, you could tell that Ilya and Presley, I mean, they almost wanted to be partners in the episode before that. So
they asked Michelle to allow them to be partners in the episode. Also, I feel like Presley at the end of the day was running that team. I feel like she, especially after everything that Adrian did, and I'm sure Presley was just like, we're giving it to Yael, and I don't care what you say. Like, I could just see her like being like, sorry.
It probably wasn't hard to convince him because he loved Eli too.
Like, they were best friends too. Yeah.
So he probably wanted Yael too.
It was so nice though too to see, I felt like Adrian's letter what really showed us that he learned something from this experience and truly grew. And that was, it was really cool to hear those words from him. And
proud
of him.
He said, I'm sorry I treated you as players and not as people. And I think, I mean, he was able to see that the very next day, you know, after getting eliminated and realizing that. So once again, the perspective of these kids. Incredible.
They're adult, man, or they act more adult than a lot of adults I know.
And before we go to the challenge, I just want to cover Jack's strategy that he implements with Skyla. CAS, cover all spaces. Wherever you are having a conversation, Purple will be there. Off in the woods, Purple will be there. Walking in the cabin, there's Purple.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a Boston Rob thing. It's literally like the Boston Rob saying, like, you can't, nobody can go away and like go away from camp. It's him monitoring, telling people. But it's like the sweet Jack version of Boston Rob. Like, he's just like, we're just going to kind of like walk into conversations and just be the nice Purple team that are not threatening that we are. But you know, the evil mastermind that is Jack wants a name for it. Like, I love his reality TV fandom, and just like, he's also trying to explain it to Skyla. And Skyla's like, what are you talking about? Their dynamic is hilarious.
I love their dynamic. It is so funny.
So next, we're going to go to this challenge here, which is called Fill and Spill, where one partner will be holding up a seesaw and then the other partners will be tossing bags into the team of their choice. If enough bags fall into the basket, the person will be lifted up into the air and will have to hang in the air for as long as they can. So it's more of a, you know, a social kind of a game, but combined with a physical element as well, and a strategic element as well. So it was interesting to see how this challenge played out. You know, everybody's going after Yael again. Mm-hmm. And I felt so bad for Eli having to stand that. I can't even imagine how heavy that seesaw must have been. And we'll be able to ask him once he joins us later here, because I see that both Eli and Ilya are here. So they'll be joining us in just a few moments here. What was your thoughts on this challenge here, seeing it?
I mean, I think political challenges, I think they're exciting and interesting sometimes, but I also, it's hard to watch them because the underdog doesn't have much of a shot, you know? So I kind of wish that they had more of a shot, Yellow Team, to win that challenge, because that would have been an epic comeback. But it brought me back to my endurance season, because I also had a very similar challenge where I was holding on to a handle and everybody poured their water into mine.
Went after Yellow
and lifted me up. So I was like, oh wow, this is wild to see.
What is it with teams going after Yellow in challenges?
I don't know.
You know, you would have thought we would have learned our lesson when we picked these colors, that we would avoid them going forward. You know, the political challenge, my thought was, it didn't reveal anything we didn't already know. Like the first one with the water, we kind of learned where everyone stood. And so Yael coming back from the cave a second time, right as Michelle explained the premise, like, well, I already know where Yael is going to end up on this one. So it was an exciting challenge, but unfortunately for Eli and Ilya, I'm sure as they learned the nature of the challenge, that they were glad they maybe hadn't unpacked their bags since the last cave.
This is one of the things, like one of my biggest critiques with Karma is I felt like the challenges were either physical or politically based. And I understand that they were trying to kind of have the element of Karma and what goes around and really kind of drive that home and have it in every challenge. But I think like by making them all physical and / or political, you're taking away other kind of skill sets that, you know, a lot of these kids maybe kind of had more of than the physical stuff. And so they didn't really get to shine in that way. So I hope if there's a season two, we do get more puzzle type challenges or just different elements to the challenges rather than just physical strength, endurance, or just being the most popular.
Yeah, it also felt like if you were socially on the outs, that there is less of a chance for you to be able to survive for a longer amount of time, just purely based off of, you know, in a political challenge. I mean, you're not winning that because you have all these other teams working against you. So, you know, even if you're able to, you know, do well in the Cape of Karma element, those challenges, you know, there's only one challenge. It's not like there's a samadhi and then you can, you know, come back from that and then, you know.
Yeah.
So you have basically one shot to really save yourself other than being in the Cave of Karma or convincing people to give you coins, of course. But
yeah, it's do or die. I got to say for Eli, though, he held on to that, the bar. I mean, I saw some of the other dudes, the minute the bag or the lever got a little heavy, they just let go. Eli was toughing it out. So I got to respect in true yellow fashion, just a tough dude on the team as usual.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I was so happy to see Pink win their first challenge here. And especially for Avon, because I know that Avon and Ilya were close. And I know Avon really wanted to protect Ilya and not send Yellow to Temple, or the Temple, send Yellow to the cave for the third time.
Avon, girl, I think we were all like in Avon's ear and at home, like, Avon, do the thing that it is we want you to do. I was really holding my breath there. I thought she was going to come back. I think she even walked out of the fire pit decision moment and yep. had to think it over. I'm like, okay, Karma's she's having a breakthrough, people. I thought she was going to come back and tell Justin, like, look, you get a pick, I get a pick.
What if Justin's pick was going to be Yellow if Avon didn't pick Yellow, you know?
He wanted to see Sienna in that cave.
This girl. But yeah, I mean, I felt like Avon did as much as she could to try to convince Justin. I mean, including walking away at the announcement. But Justin's head was so into the strategy and less like, oh, it's bad to treat this team badly for three times in a row. It's like, I don't know how she could have convinced him otherwise. But I also feel like that's kind of a typical partnership. Like you see in endurance, like the boy decides to make the decisions and like the girl is being emotional or something. You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of what you see in life sometimes, which can be frustrating.
But to me, it wasn't an emotional decision. Avon it was so frustrating because I was like, Avon literally described how this is not an emotional decision for her. Yes, there's emotion attached to it, but strategically, Yellow has not won any challenges as a team. Yeah. So strategically, why would we get rid of them? Like when we have a chance to get rid of teams that have been doing better in challenges.
You're right. I mean, I meant to say being seen as making an emotional decision,
Well, and that kind of made me mad that Justin said that of like Avon's playing emotionally. Don't just tell like because it's a girl that she's playing emotionally. Like, yeah, she can have emotion attached to her strategic decisions, but I felt like Avon was playing the smartest out of anybody and really thinking through everything in a karma way. Like, and she wasn't able to get her, like, her and Justin weren't able to see eye to eye. And unfortunately, like, Yellow was sent. And it was that, I was so frustrated.
Yeah. I don't mean to take anything away from Justin. I mean, I think that his decision, it ended up working out for him. You know, I don't want to say that was the wrong thing to do, but because of course that he had reasons behind his strategies too.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, what we are going to do is we are going to take a quick break, go to our sponsors. And when we come back, we are going to have the yellow team join us. And we are going to be splitting this into two parts. So this first part is going to be non-spoilers. So we're going to talk everything from episode one all the way up until episode four that you're listening to now. So, and then towards the end, we'll just, you know, have everybody that's spoiler free, let them go. And then for those who have seen the whole season, we're going to continue on and talk about the second half of the season with the yellow team in that second portion. So without further ado, let's circle over to our sponsors and take a break.
Oh.
And we're back. So hello, everybody. Welcome back. So I am so excited to have this team here. We are all wearing some form of yellow on us. We have two former yellow team members here. I mean, the yellow legacy is really strong today for this podcast. So this person received a free pass in the Right to Stay challenge and, you know, pushed through her own doubts and really, really beasted hard during the partner challenge. And I it was so great to see somebody like Ilya. So hello Ilya, how are you?
Yay!
Oh my god. Hey,
the cave. She's here. How are you, Ilya?
Is that your karma
I'm
shirt?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
And
thank you for having me.
And to complete out this yellow team, we have Eli coming in as well.
Yay!
Our backflip king.
I know.
And also king of the cave. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You guys
literally are one of the classiest teams I have ever seen, either on endurance, karma now. I mean, you two just seem like such good people. You're good sports and you're both so like great. Like you're both so strong too. And it was such a pleasure to watch both of you grow and just your journey on karma.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, your law of karma was patience. And I'm sure during this journey in karma, you had to have a lot of patience. What was something that you learned about yourself in regards to patience, both in karma and after karma?
In all honesty, with me, I had to understand that going into these, going into the cave, for instance, you couldn't put yourself down before going in. You couldn't say, I'm going to go home. I already know it. You know, you have to instill that confidence in yourself and, you know, just be patient and don't rush anything. Wait for, you know, that moment to come and just live in the moment. Don't think too far ahead. We really had to embody that law of karma, which was patience going through everything we did.
Yellow.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Ilya?
I think for me, what I learned the most about patience is you can't force yourself to like think ahead. Like you have to go with the flow. You can't like immediately think, you know, what's going to happen ahead in the future. And you just have to be like, you know, really chill. Just take things one step at a time.
I love that. And this was alluded to a couple of episodes when we were talking to Mac and Skyly. But they had mentioned that when you were there with them, that they found their coin on the first try. How was that, you know, being in that moment, like, oh, wow, out of 10 jars, they found the coin. And now we have to find this coin or else, you know.
It was do or die.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely put us on our toes for sure. Like, it was a shock. Like, when they first went behind that pot, and Max kind of like eyeing me like I know it's this one, Elijah, like give me some type of signal. I'm like, oh my goodness. So then, you know, they make their final choice and I look at Ilya and I'm like, oh man, let's go. Come on.
Okay, so this is one of the first things I said to Keaton and Lily and Aaron when I was watching the show. We were group texting, but when the other teams were picking, my first thing I said to them, like, I would turn around. I would make me and my partner, we would face the other way. And I noticed at the end of the, towards the end of the caves, teams started doing that. Did that ever cross your mind since you guys were in the cave the first pretty much half of the show?
No.
Ellie was like, no, we were looking them dead in the eye.
Ellie, I felt like you had such good strategy because I don't know if anybody else said this, but I remember you were like even telling like Eli, like, we should move this pot a little bit. Like, you guys immediately kind of like brought this strategy to the cave because you went there first. And I just was so like impressed by the fact that you thought about that immediately. Were there any other like strategies at the cave that you were implementing but kind of didn't make the cut?
I just was playing by like what I would do and what I thought would be smartest.
Okay. We saw Presley, she was like feeling the energies. I'm thinking this is getting too much mountain fresh air at this point. She was holding the thing over. What do you guys think about that?
Oh yeah, when you went in the cave, weren't you also like making sure you eyed the pots before the other team hid the coins, and then you so you memorized where each pot was on the stump, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I actually had another strategy. I had another strategy that I used to do. I would take my finger and I would measure like the distance from where the pot was originally. And so I kind of did that on my own. Like when no one was looking, I would try to measure it and see. And I guess that kind of helped me a bit.
Oh.
Nice. Eli, what was your hidden trick?
I remember.
I mean, in all honesty, really, I really didn't use strategy in the cave because to me going into the cave, it was more a chance of karma, you could say. So for me personally, I didn't really go in there, you know, trying to form strategy to win, but I always like supported Ilya and like I literally was just like, yeah, that is smart because she did really come up with some good strategies on how to get in and get out safely. So anything that she came up with, I was just like, you know what? Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to piggyback on that too. And we can, you know, we can do this together.
Oh my, love that, you guys.
You guys are both such a unique team. What made you want to try out for this TV show and ultimately decide and agree to do it? Ilya?
So for me, I actually thought it was a summer camp at first. It had said extreme summer camp. And so I was excited because I've never done a summer camp before. Then I found out it was going to be a TV show. I was like, oh, okay, well, new things, new adventures. I'm up for anything new. So, yeah.
Eli?
The funny thing for me is I actually had, like, I was thinking about doing it, but I actually didn't even want to, you know, really audition because I thought that, you know, I wouldn't get in. I thought, you know, so many people are going to be doing this. And what is the chance they pick me out of people all around the country? And my mom actually found it scrolling through Facebook. So I was like, you know what? Let's just do it. You know, I'll just be me. You know, they get me, they get me. And it was a while until I actually forgot I even auditioned until they gave me a call back. But it was crazy how I came upon the opportunity.
Oh, wow.
Ilya, going back to the first episode, your first interview was about wanting to prove to, you know, girls who wear hijabs that they can do anything. Like, how do you feel about you like achieving that goal? And why did you set that goal for yourself?
So I've been receiving a lot of comments and a lot of like DMs by people saying like, you know, thank you for representing us. I feel so like represented. And honestly, it just like, it makes my heart soar. And like, I set that goal for myself because I know that's what I wanted. Like, I always wanted to see just, you know, like a Muslim girl, even just for a little bit. Like, it always makes you happier because you don't really see that a lot. And I know I wanted to be there for my sister. I wanted my sister to see me and be like, wow, if she can do it, I can do that. So, you know, that was my whole, that was the reason why I went on the show. I wasn't really thinking about anything else. I just thought representation, that's it.
Well, you represented. Let's just put that out there. You did it. Both of you guys did, to be honest. You guys represented whoever you were coming for and for yellow players in the past. You guys really did.
Yeah. Ilya, as such a huge fan of reality TV, like my entire life, it was so refreshing to see a Muslim woman on a show, and also a Muslim woman who, like, I just felt like the way you carried yourself and you, like, you were so strong and you, even though like you're a Muslim and that's something that defined you, you were just you. And it wasn't something, it wasn't like this overarching thing where I was always like, oh, Ilya's the Muslim girl, Ilya's the Muslim girl. It was Ilya the person, Ilya the player. And I think you were just, you taught me so much about young women like you. And I just thank you because it's such a huge deal that, you were that representation, and I hope moving forward, we will see more young women like you.
I hope so too.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break and go over to our sponsors. And after that, we will be right back. So, you know what goes around comes around. So we'll be going, but we'll be coming back soon. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back.
I want to ask these two though, because you guys got the patience law, it seems like. So after the second time you got sent to the cave, I mean, if I were you, I went up there with no coins, I would have lost it. And in fact, when I got sent to my second temple, I did lose it. I poured water all over my cast members' beds, and then I had to come back that night and, you know, own up to it. I would have lost my patience a lot earlier than you guys did. How did you keep your composure when these people kept coming after you?
You want to go first?
Okay, so I mean, in all honesty, I wasn't really surprised that they sent us again. There's always so much buildup before that final decision is made, but each time, you know, a team was sent to the cave, everybody kind of had the idea, you know, who's going. So not only did that give us a little preparation, but also me and Ilya kind of just like, we had our disagreements for sure, but like we also knew how to get over those and come together to where it's not, oh, you know, I'm going to the cave. It's no, we're going to do it and we're going to do it together. You know, we can't sit here and pity party ourselves. We got to be patient, like, you know, like our karma, our law of karma is. And we're going to do it together. So we have each other's back and, you know, we're not going to sob about it. We're going to go in this and be confident.
I love that. You guys are so cool. God.
You guys are like so classy. I can't. So classy.
I would love to get your perspective, actually rewinding a bit before that second time, of what happened during that third episode. Because, I mean, I know that, you know, Eli, we saw you with Adrian and Huck, you know, with your plan of, you know, hey, let's catch Luke doing what he does, you know, spreading rumors. We need to test this theory. And how that all devolved into what I don't even know how to describe what that was at the end of episode 3. But
chaos.
Yeah.
The funny part is that actually, I think, so when they initially came up with, well, okay, so first let me just say, we all knew that Luke had proven to be, you know, deceiving and, you know, spreading those false rumors. But a lot of the times people wouldn't believe us. So I think I was actually out on an interview or a walk, and Huck and Adrian put together that idea. And so when I come back, they, you know, fill me in and I'm like, wow, that's like actually a perfect idea. And, you know, Pink was in on it. So, yeah, I was like, let's test this theory. So now, hopefully, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, we proved that, you know, he's proven to be untrustworthy and, you know, lying, then maybe it'll make everything better off for our teams. Obviously, that didn't work that well. But I mean, in that moment, especially when they won that second challenge, I knew it. I knew, I was like, it's going to be one of us three. And at this point, there's nothing we can do about it. So we just got to roll with the punches.
Yeah, that was crazy after there were three teams versus Blue and then Blue pulls out the win at the next challenge. That was wild.
Yeah, and kudos to them. They came clutch, but I mean.
Ilya, I have a question about like the dynamic of the girls. So like the guys, they kind of all like seemed pretty, not bro-y, but they all seemed very friendly with each other. And the girls did too. And a lot of these times, even though I felt like you guys were being ganged up on, it still felt like they were being super supportive to you. Did you feel that way during the game?
Wait, what do you mean? Sorry.
Like, even though they were targeting you as a team, did you feel like they were still supporting you as a friend?
I do think that they were still supporting us as a friend. Like, I mean, I guess there were my moments where I did have some doubts about, like, I thought it was definitely based off of friendship since a lot of the other girls were closer. But when it comes down to, like, thinking about friendship, I do think they were still supporting me because all of them were, like, you know, I remember Luke, he told me, he was like, you don't need to prove yourself on the show. You've already done enough to prove that, you know, you're really strong and that, you know, you've definitely proven to hijabis worldwide that they can do anything. And they were definitely supportive as friends.
That's awesome to hear.
Ilya, I also want to ask your perspective on that, the chaos of episode 3, because there's a moment where you and Presley, you know, are saying we're going to the cave because of our partners and Presley wants you to become your partner. We see later in the episode, there's a, you guys reconcile, but like, how do you look back on that moment? Do you think you were kind of, how do you look back on that?
I mean, that's the moment I regret the most. I lost it completely. And I think my tipping point was when like Luke barges in and like I'm trying to comfort Presley while she's crying and Luke is just like, both of you are leaving. Like Ariana comes and she's like, I'm sorry, but both of you guys are gone. Like you're done. And I remember just being so mad because I'm trying to comfort Presley because her partner was being not as nice in the moment. And so I lost it and I was like, that's it. I was like, I don't want anything to do with my partner anymore. I want to be partners with Presley. Looking back, I definitely think that was like just a moment of anger. And Eli and I, we bonded after that. We talked about it, you know, and I think we grew a lot closer. So I am thankful it did happen.
Yeah, I actually think that scene where you two are kind of apologizing to each other was one of the most powerful scenes of the entire series because, you know, you had just had such a strong disagreement and a chaotic moment and all of a sudden you came back together and you became one entity again. And I like to see that. So good job.
Yeah. So wonderful.
You could have turned on each other. You guys could have turned on each other and resented each other through your experience, but you had a choice and you chose not to, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. On the flip side, what was your favorite moment, both of your favorite moments from Karma? And it could be anything.
Well, for me, I definitely have to say a lot of like the, you know, the just the stupid, silly kid things we just do off camera when not filming. I mean, we would just literally run around. We'd be up and down that hill, just playing games, hide and seek, at night, stargazing, or, you know, we're supposed to be in the cabin by a certain time and we're still talking about, oh, it's time to go to bed. I still got to go brush my teeth, you know? So just doing those funny, stupid things that we all used to do.
Yeah, the same goes for me. Like, I think it's a lot of the off-camera things we did. I remember me and Presley, like, we cracked up a Percy Jackson joke, and we both started laughing for, like, 5 minutes straight. Like, that was it. We were just dying out of laughter. And it was, like, my favorite moment, because she was the only friend that I had that actually understood that joke.
Ooh, what was the joke about Percy Jackson? I like Percy Jackson, by the way.
basically, Aaron was laying down on Presley, and I remember I think we started bugging Aaron about something, and he was just like, let me lay down on my gay best friend in peace. And so in that moment, I was like, wait, that's something Leo Valdez would say about Nico D'Angelo. And I told her, and we both started laughing for like 10 minutes. It was the best thing ever.
Speaking of your relationship with Presley, that was something, I mean, it was touched on in the show, of course, but you know, you guys got to know each other a lot more than we were able to see in the show. So yeah, I mean, Presley's like out as a lesbian. I mean, some would think that you guys maybe wouldn't get along super well, but you did. Like, can you talk about your guys' friendship?
So Presley and I, she was like the first person to actually like welcomed me on Karma. Like before, I was just kind of like, you know, doing my own thing. And then we started talking. I can't remember how we started talking, but we just started talking and getting along, and we grew really close. Like, since I was reading Percy Jackson, and we kind of built our friendship off of that. We would spend a lot of time together. I remember we built a monument. We built like a little monument together. We would grab rocks and like flowers and sticks, and we would like build it. And we were like really close. It's funny because people wouldn't expect it, but like we were really tight with each other. She was like the only friend that I actually had on Karma, and it was really nice to be with her.
Yeah, she's a good one.
That's awesome. I have a question for Eli. So in terms of the challenges, Which one did you find was the easiest for you? Which was the hardest to do?
Okay, so I would definitely say the easiest one would probably be the Right to Stay challenge, just because it was an independent challenge, obviously. And also, when it's like Michelle kept saying, it's not who comes in first, just don't be last. Something like that, she said. So, you know, being able to just get through it myself, but also just the person I am in general, I like to be a helping hand. So, you know, being able to help people form those quick friendships, you know, throughout that challenge was definitely probably the easiest. The hardest one for me would definitely be, I really want to say either, honestly, the cave for sure, but also it was like a seesaw. I forget what it was called, but that was definitely one because it was more of, it was a physical challenge, yes, but it was also very political. So it was kind of how much people want you gone and how much people want you like you. So that was definitely, you know, one of the hardest ones.
Politics, I'll tell you.
I know. Let's talk about that final cave where, unfortunately, We had to say goodbye to you guys. Going into that, did you guys feel like pretty confident, or were you feeling like, oh no, it's our third time, our luck might run out?
Ilya, you want to go first?
I mean, at this point, I kind of lost hope. Like, part of me was like, you know what? This might be my last time. It's okay. You know, what happens, happens. I didn't really think too much about it. I was like, if I go in and I go and I come back, it's meant to happen. If I go in and I go home, that's just how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I kind of could say I felt the same. I mean, going into the cave, I obviously had that mental breakdown that I honestly didn't want to have, but it just had to happen. But I also thought, you know, going in the first time, everything was on our side. Going in the second time, we had all the odds against us, but we still came back. So going in for a third time, I think I can recall I said, let's hope that third time's a charm, because now it's completely even. So I was definitely nervous, but I agree with Ilya. I was kind of just like, you know, everything happens for a reason. So if we're meant to stay, we'll stay. And if it's not, then, you know, it is what it is.
Well, it sounds like you guys were better with the outcome than the rest of us, because I think we all collectively were more upset.
Screaming at the TV.
Before we get into the spoiler portion, did you have any final words that you wanted to say about your experience for those who are still watching the series along with these podcasts? Or any advice?
I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
So going into the final cave, or your guys' third cave, you were kind of having a lot of thoughts about karma wants me here, but I have to find out why. Like, and that you were using that as something to convince the other teams to make the coins even, which worked. So good job for that.
Mm-hmm.
So looking back, since you were really questioning, why does karma want me here? I have to figure out why. And then you went home. Looking back, why did karma want you there? Like, what did you take away?
Me personally, like when I was on with Michelle the other day, I just really, out of the entire experience, I really took away that, you know, everything happens for a reason. And also that, you know, sometimes in some situations, you just have to step away and observe, because after watching the show, in all honesty, I don't want to spoil too much, but all the backstabbing and the lying and deceiving and all that, if I wouldn't be able to keep my mouth shut if I you know, knew about that. You know, I'm one to speak my opinion. I'm very opinionated, like Adrian himself, except, you know, I wouldn't be able to hold it in. So, you know, I take away that everything happens for a reason. And of course, I'm very thankful for the opportunity and glad that, you know, we did as well as we did.
I think what I took away was the whole, like, extra I wanted to put out there. I felt like I achieved it pretty well, I think. And then I definitely took away that I could do literally anything I put my mind to. Because that was another thing. Like, this show, I think, I forgot who I was talking to, but it was, like, during an interview, and they were like, oh, do you think you went on there for, like, yourself as well? And I definitely think that, like, part of me was, like, because I'm very, like, self, I have very low, like, self-confidence. And so to be able to go there and do as well as I did, that definitely helped me a lot, like, to become who I am right now in this moment.
Good.
Amazing. Like, yeah. Let's see. You guys are both so great.
Yeah. And I remember, I mean, this particular story didn't make the cut because, I mean, just it was a little long. But I remember you telling me that people in your school told you you shouldn't be on the soccer team because it'll be too hot for you in Texas. And you were like, what? Like, yeah. You've been told so many times, like, you shouldn't do something. And, you know, I mean, you internalized that, right? Like, so you probably wanted to prove to yourself, too.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what it was. That's what it was, because whenever I tried out for sports, they would always tell me that. They're like, oh, you're wearing long sleeves and a scarf? You know, you might as well quit now. And I was constantly put down, and it definitely brought my self-confidence down a lot. So being able to go here and, like, just do what I did, that definitely helped me a lot as a person.
Yeah. And for all those haters out there in Texas and the soccer team, look who's hot now. Ilya.
Yeah.
HBO, baby.
Where can people find or follow you if you would like them to?
My Instagram is just ILLYA_YAS YASMEEN, Ilya Yasmin. So that's my Instagram.
For me, you can follow me on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all at Elijah Naidas, ElijahNaidas.
And what are you guys up to right now? Like, I know obviously quarantine has changed all of our lives in one way or another, but what have you guys been up to since Karma filmed?
Well, I'm from Florida, so I'm going to the beach. I'm not out there a lot, but you know, I'm just hanging around the house, staying active as much as I can. I love to go to the beach. I actually have a skimboard, and I tried it for the first time the other day, and I fell a lot, but it was just pretty fun and cool to get out the house, just try something new. So I've just been hanging out.
I've been doing the opposite. I've been staying in my bed most of the time and either reading or watching K-dramas.
Yes! Okay. Sorry. Which K-dramas are we talking about here?
The newest one, It's Okay Not to Be Okay, or Psycho. Oh. That one is on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, watch it. Oh my god!
You guys, what's a K-drama?
It's a Korean soap opera.
Okay. All right.
Exactly. Nice. But the plot is a lot better.
Hey, I like soap operas. I just haven't heard the term yet. So, okay. Yeah. I'm learning.
And here's Hawaii was a soap opera.
That was a tragedy, is what that one was. But
lived a K-drama.
I'll check out those K-dramas. Well, look, Eli, when you're skimboarding out there, be sure to wear a mask. Be careful on those beaches.
They work in jellyfish. Yes, jellyfish. No bueno.
I got stung the first time. Like, we went to the beach and I got stung. And no water for me.
Yeah.
Do you guys still keep in touch with like the other Karma kids throughout this time?
Mm-hmm. We have like a big group chat.
I keep in touch with a few of them. I don't talk to them all. You know, I'm not in the group chat, but I do like talk to them one on one all the time, basically.
Awesome. Oh. Yeah.
So
go, Aaron. Go.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into this spoiler talk here. So if you've been spoiler-free up till now, feel free to leave. We catch up with the season, come back, listen. And if you have watched the season, get ready, because I'm so excited for this part. So insert spoiler song here, warning. Okay, spoiler warning. Okay. And so I wanted to ask about what it was like sitting there in that final cave, watching everything go down. What was that whole experience like for you all?
You
okay? Okay, I'll go. For me, it was kind of upsetting, and it really made me want to just like literally go over to Huck and be like, yo, where are the coins at? Like, at least narrow it down for me. Because, like, you know, we found, they go, they miss, we find, or some, however it goes. But I'm just sitting there thinking, like, what is going on? We literally beat the odds two times in a row. Now it's literally even and we can't find anything. So it was kind of honestly upsetting for me, but I also didn't let that, you know, affect me that much. I just, you know, tried my best going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I guess.
Oh, no, you can.
Oh, yeah. For me, I remember I was just like, when we didn't find it, like the first couple of times, I was like, okay. I mean, that's what I like really lost it. I was like, whatever happens, happens at this moment. Like, I didn't really like think too much about it. I was definitely disappointed because, you know, it's always nice to go back, but I was like, I mean, I tried to take away like the small good things about being able to go home. I was like, you know, hey, I mean, at least I get to be with my family and like, you know, but it definitely did break my heart having to go back home.
So when you guys went home, you must have been home for like a week. And then did you get a call that you were going to come back for the finale?
Yes, I was, well, the crazy part is me and Ilya both took a morning flight.
Yeah.
And we get to our gate. We're on the same plane, and here comes JD and Cooper walking down the hall. So we're talking to them, and they're like, "Hey, we might be having you guys come back, but obviously, you know, you're gonna go home first, and we'll keep you updated." So when we get to the next airport, my mom gets an email that says, "You'll be coming back on this day at this time," and it's literally 3 days later. So we came home, and we were home for 3 days, and the next day we took 3 flights all the way back out to
Wow. Were you guys surprised to see who was in the final two when you got out there? Who were you expecting to see when you got there?
I don't know. I remember definitely expecting Purple. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's probably gonna be Purple. But
yeah, I was expecting Purple too. But any other team, I wasn't really, you know, sure of who would get there.
Interesting. You guys both felt very strongly that Purple was going. I didn't think they were. I counted them out the minute Jack walked back in the thing. I wasn't. I didn't see that one coming.
No.
So you guys saw something that I, as a viewer, completely didn't pick up on.
Who were you rooting for? When you got back, was Pink still in it since that was the day before?
I think so, yeah.
And I think it was the day, it was either the day we got there or the next morning at the hotel that we knew Pink was going home.
Yeah, can't remember.
So when you guys are like sitting in that final cave watching Purple and Red go at it and try to figure out this puzzle, so were you rooting for one over the other a little bit?
Me personally, I wanted Red to win. I really wanted Red to win.
Okay. Yeah, you gave your hint to Red.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I kind of remember I was for both. I was like, oh, you know, whoever wins. I was excited. I probably kind of wanted Purple to win just a bit more. But yeah.
Awesome.
It's interesting. I guess it depends on who what strategy you like more, winning challenges or being mentally strategic behind the scenes.
Right.
So,
also, yeah. Speaking of that, did you know about the lie that Purple had put about you and Green being in an alliance together?
Nope.
No,
we had no idea.
Watching the show back and figuring that out while I'm at home on my TV, I'm just like, oh, if I would have knew.
Little liar.
I'll spin out because, like I said, I'm just very opinionated and I would definitely have to speak my mind on that. But we had no idea. And, I was actually kind of in shock when I did see it on my home TV that's what happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's definitely a shock to see. I was like, why? I guess that explains why Huck was like all questioning us when we had got in. So I remember I was like, why is he asking us? Is he asking everyone this? That's what I remember going through my head. I was like, is he asking everyone this? I was like, but yeah, it was definitely shocking to see.
Well, any final thoughts from you guys before we have to say goodbye?
I just want to say, in general, Ilya, you were obviously an amazing partner. I tell you that every day we talk. But I just want to say that, you know, the entire Karma experience was, you know, is truly life-changing. I mean, not only are you out there away from family, but it really brings you, you know, it kind of shows you what the real world is like. World is like, you know, once you're out there with no phones, no parents, you know, you're having to solve these problems, you know, with each other. You have to talk things out. You have to keep your cool while also, you know, maintaining, you know, your personal integrity and, you know, standing your ground on certain situations. So, you know, I took a lot away from it and I'm really thankful for the entire experience. And Ilya, thank you for, you know, just dealing with me sometimes when I was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing for me. I think honestly, I want to thank Eli for being really patient with me, because I know I'm a lot to take in. Like, I'm definitely very shy, and so I'm surprised we grew as close as we did, and I'm really thankful for it, because he was very, very comforting. He was, like, the entire time, like, that's the reason why I kept on going on. Whenever he would be there to comfort me, I was like, you know what? I don't need to be afraid. I'm not alone. I have him by my side. And with him, like, I felt unstoppable. Like, he was the reason why I felt like I could do anything. I was like, together, we can do anything. Like, you know, he definitely was the best partner I could ever ask for. And, you know, but yeah, regarding the experience, it will definitely bring out your true self. That's what I will say. Like, it'll unlock who you are. And that's what happened to me. Like, it unlocked so many doors that I didn't even know existed. And it introduced me to, like, this whole new self. And it definitely prepares you for, you know, situations like that. And so I'm beyond grateful that I was chosen, at least, and even considered to be in the show. And it's an honor to be able to represent, you know, Muslims around the world, and to, you know, just be able to show people what we're made of. Yeah.
Yay.
The yellow team.
Yes.
Yes, Eli.
Yellow team.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Heck yeah.
Yellow crew just fell down. You guys didn't even know, like, oh my god, because I didn't even tell the cast, like, that I was on Endurance, so yes, you guys didn't even know I was yellow, and I also got sixth place. Crazy.
I know, yeah, she told me, and I was like, I lost my mind. I was like,
you couldn't just, like, that girl seems cool, like, she definitely
emanating from my body.
We all thought it was someone else. I remember we all thought it was this other person, this other story producer. And he kept on telling us, no, it wasn't him, but we were like, So we were all really surprised to find out it was Lily.
Yeah. Maybe I told them it was someone, so they were guessing.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
So yeah. Anyway, it's been so good to have you guys on and hear all your thoughts and just talk to you. You guys were amazing on the show, and everybody loved
Thank you for having
watching
us.
Your
yeah.
Show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, guys. Keep in touch, and we wish you all the best of luck. We can't wait to see where you guys are going to go, because the classiest team ever, I swear. You guys are the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Oh, wow. Oh.
They're so wonderful.
So
it's really wild. So supportive of each other and so determined to, like, make a difference.
I know. They really seem like they like each other. That's like, all the teams do, but there was something about them where it's like, no, these two are going to be, like, friends through into college and into adulthood. That was, you could just tell with those two.
Yeah. It's going to be like a me and Mike situation, I feel like. Yeah. Like, there's a certain connection, like, they made. And I think when you get paired with somebody and you don't realize there's a connection there, and then, like, you just get, it just, I just, like, literally was tearing up when they were both talking about each other. I'm like, oh, what a great episode, guys. This was fun.
Team. And as always, it has been such a pleasure podcasting with the three of you here. So where can people follow you?
Oh,
can I go first this time, since mine is so
relevant?
So if you guys want to hit me up for tech services or just to have a connection on LinkedIn, my LinkedIn is Monroe Jordan Garrell. Send an ad. I have gotten one LinkedIn connection. His last name's escaping me, but Evan, thanks for contacting me on LinkedIn. yeah.
Keaton, you can go next. I have a plane above me.
Oh, okay. You guys can follow me all over the interwebs, just at my name, at Keaton Markey. And I was so excited to find out that this morning Jack's mom started following me. So
Jack's
I feel like it's a new level.
Wow.
I was so excited. I can't wait to talk to Jack and tell him how much I nerded out when his mom started following me.
No, that's hardcore.
You can follow me at my regular Instagram, Tiger Lily Brown. I'm also on Twitter at Lily27Sings. And also I have a singing Instagram, Lily27Sings. And also I'm running the unofficial Karma Instagram, which is at Karma on HBO Max.
Yeah. Awesome. And so you can follow me on Instagram at TheOrangeAA or on Twitter at AARobertson94. And with that, thank you all so much. And we shall see you back for episode 5.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.